there are other elements in the Book of Psalms that are used by fundamentalist Christians. You will probably not believe me, but this same scenario unfolds in San Antonio, Texas. San Antonio, Texas, and if you order that first video, you don't have to, but if any of you do, you will see it in the first video, where at the end of the lecture, there's a lot of fundamentalist Christians. When I came to that place with Rabbi Block and the other rabbis who sponsored my programs in San Antonio, and we came to the JCC, I thought there was a wedding taking place. Is there a wedding call? Because the parking lot was packed. And there were a lot of Christians there, and again, there was that sort of nervousness in the place, you know. And I said, don't worry, you know, it's going to be fine. Well, right after I finished speaking, there's this fellow, this Mexican fellow, that gets up, and he says, Rabbi, would you read this verse, please, in a very cocky fashion? And I take the book from him, and he has it open to Psalm chapter 2, and he tells me to read verse 10. And I read verse 10. And of course, there's nothing in verse 10 that would, no big deal. He said, then read the next one. And I read the next one. And again, it was sort of, you know, it was like nothing. I realized what he was, you know, I was just going along with this because he wasn't really. And he finally gets the Psalm 2:12. And then I read it out to the audience. And it's on the section number 2 of this first page. It's on the upper right-hand side. And this is what I read to the audience out of his King James Bible that he handed me. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. I read that verse. And, of course, by now, I didn't have to even be spontaneous. I remembered all my lines that I did in Binghamton. I said, you don't understand the word of Hebrew, do you? And then he bought it, you know. He said, no, I don't. You don't recognize it? No, you don't. Because if you did, you'd realize that it doesn't really say that here. How do you say son in Hebrew? I asked the audience. And the whole audience said, Shemesh. No, I said, not that, throw on tape, not that kind of son, not the S-U-N, but the S-O-N son. How do you say it in Hebrew? And of course they said Ben. See, there's a problem here because the verse does not have the word Ben in it, which means son. The verse has a different word, which means bar. And then I asked the audience, tell me, what does the word bar mean? The words, by the way, are together, nashguvar. What does the word bar mean? What does that word mean? And the people really didn't know till one of the rabbis there raised his hand and said, it means purity, cleanliness. You see, the word there is not ben. In Hebrew, the word ben means son. Like when someone is called up to get an aliyah at the Torah, to say the blessing over the Torah, they're called up Moshe ben Avraham or whatever, right? So the word ben in Hebrew does mean son, but the word bar in Hebrew doesn't quite mean son. It means purity. The word nashgubar together means embrace purity. Embrace purity. Now the question is, how do we know that? Maybe the word bar really does mean son, but the Jews change it to mean purity because we want to undermine the Christological element of the second psalm. Well, there's a very easy way to do that. All we do is we look at all the other places where the word bar exists. And I did for you, as I did you a little favor, I showed you every single place where the word bar appears in the Book of Psalms. Just did that for you right there. And you will notice that isn't it odd that the King James Bible, everywhere where that word appears in all of its different forms, is always translated as cleanliness or purity? Why, if that word truly means son or sonship, why isn't it translated that way in other places? Now, the word bar, as you know, there is a tricky element here, and that is that the word bar, although in Hebrew does not mean son, in Aramaic it does. The word bar, like a bar mitzvah. You go to a bar and you think it's a mitzvah. Just kidding. What bar mitzvah, right? Little joke we learned in yeshiva, right? Okay. Right? Bar mitzvah, right? Son, right? The only thing is that although there is a little Aramaic in the Jewish scriptures, a couple of verses in the book of Jeremiah, primarily Daniel and Ezra and so on, although we have a little bit of Aramaic salted in the Bible, salted is not even the right word because there's only about 3 or 4 books in the Bible that have any Aramaic at all, the Book of Psalms has no Aramaic whatsoever. And therefore, the word bar clearly means cleanliness and not son. And what is hysterical is that if you go in the same psalm, but the verse 7, Psalm 2, verse 7, same psalm, just a little earlier, I will declare, it's on the lower right-hand side, I will declare the decree, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. We see that if King David wanted to use the word son, he knew how to spell it. It was in the same psalm. And it's not like King David went through some sort of change in his life that, you know, in his early days he wrote with a different style than his latter days. No, this was all written, it was all the same psalm, it was all written at the same time. You see that King David knew how to spell the word son if he wanted to.